In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word and understand and do thy will, for I am a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is the 30th of December, 2023. For our reading today, we have 2 Chronicles chapter 35, Malachi chapter 3, Revelation chapter 21, the Gospel of John chapter 20, and we will be continuing a reading from St. Barsanuphius and St. John's Directions for Spiritual Work. I think that's what the section's called. Texts numbers 31 through 40. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, the NLT. Josiah celebrates Passover. Then Josiah announced that the Passover of the Lord would be celebrated in Jerusalem, and so the Passover lamb was slaughtered on the 14th day of the first month. Josiah also assigned the priests to their duties and encouraged them in their work at the temple of the Lord. He issued this order to the Levites, who were to teach all Israel and who had been set apart to serve the Lord. Put the holy ark in the temple that was built by Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. You no longer need to carry it back and forth on your shoulders. Now spend your time serving the Lord your God and his people Israel. Report for duty according to the family divisions of your ancestors, following the directions of King David of Israel and the directions of his son Solomon. Then stand in the sanctuary at the place appointed for your family division, and help the families assigned to you as they bring their offerings to the temple. Slaughter the Passover lambs, purify yourselves, and prepare to help those who come. Follow all the directions that the Lord gave through Moses. Then Josiah provided 30,000 lambs and young goats for the people's Passover offerings, along with 3,000 cattle, all from the king's own flocks and herds. The king's officials also made willing contributions to the people, priests, and Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, the administrators of God's temple, gave the priests 2,600 lambs and young goats, and the 300 cattle as Passover offerings. The Levite leaders, Cananiah, and his brothers, Shemaiah and Nathaniel, as well as Hashabiah, Jeiel, and Jozabad, gave 5,000 lambs and young goats and 500 cattle to the Levites for their Passover offerings. When everything was ready for the Passover celebration, the priests and the Levites took their places, organized by their divisions, as the king had commanded. The Levites then slaughtered the Passover lambs and presented the blood to the priests, who sprinkled the blood on the altar while the Levites prepared the animals. They divided the burnt offerings among the people by their family groups, so they could offer them to the Lord as prescribed in the book of Moses. They did the same with the cattle. Then they roasted the Passover lambs as prescribed, and they boiled the holy offerings in pots, kettles, and pans, and brought them out quickly so the people could eat them. Afterward, the Levites prepared Passover offerings for themselves and for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, because the priests had been busy from morning till night offering the burnt offerings and the fat portions. The Levites took responsibility for all these preparations. The musicians, descendants of Asaph, were in their assigned places, following the commands that had been given by David, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer. The gatekeepers guarded the gates and did not need to leave their posts of duty, for their Passover offerings were prepared for them by their fellow Levites. the entire ceremony for the Lord's Passover was completed that day. All the burnt offerings were sacrificed on the altar of the Lord, as King Josiah had commanded. All the Israelites present in Jerusalem celebrated Passover and the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Never since the time of the prophet Samuel had there been such a Passover. None of the kings of Israel had ever kept a Passover as Josiah did, involving all the priests and Levites. All the people of Jerusalem and people from all over Judah and Israel. This Passover was celebrated in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. Josiah dies in battle. After Josiah had finished restoring the temple, King Necho of Egypt led his army up from Egypt to do battle at Carchemish in the Euphrates River, and Josiah and his army marched out to fight him. But King Necho sent messengers to Josiah with this message: "What do you want with me, King of Judah? I have no quarrel with you today. I am on my way to fight another nation, and God has told me to hurry. Do not interfere with God, who is with me, or he will destroy you." But Josiah refused to listen to Necho, to whom God had indeed spoken, and he would not turn back. Instead, he disguised himself and led his army into battle on the plain of Megiddo. But the enemy archers hit King Josiah with their arrows and wounded him. He cried out to his men, "Take me out, take me from the battle, for I am badly wounded." So they lifted Josiah out of his chariot and placed him in another chariot. Then they brought him back to Jerusalem, where he died. He was buried there in the royal cemetery, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. The prophet Jeremiah composed funeral songs for Josiah, and to this day choirs still sing these sad songs about his death. These songs of sorrow have become a tradition and are recorded in the Book of Laments. The rest of the events of Josiah's reign and his acts of devotion carried out according to what was written in the Book of the Lord, from beginning to end, are all recorded in the Book of the Kings of Israel and Judah. And that is 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Tomorrow's the last day. One more chapter. On to Malachi chapter 3, also the NLT, the coming day of judgment. "Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come up to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming," says the Lord of heaven's armies. "But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Then once more the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem as he did in the past. At that time I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness all the sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies." A call to repentance. "I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you," says the Lord of heaven's armies. "But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of Heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed, for those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. The Lord's promise of mercy. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And that's Malachi chapter 3. There's one footnote here for section 11. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Hebrew, from the devourer. So insects and disease was a Hebrew word, the devourer. That's pretty... All right, on to Revelation chapter 21, the NIV, a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the adult idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The New Jerusalem, the Bride of the Lamb. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod, and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is Revelation chapter 21. On to John chapter 20, NIV. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And then she told them that she had seen that, and she told them that he had said these things to her. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The purpose of John's Gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that is chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. All right, that's our scripture reading for today. On to our reading from the Philokalia. So let's see. Text number 31 of Directions in Spiritual Work by St. Barsanuphius and St. John. Should one question one's sterets about all things born in the heart? One should not question about all thoughts born in the heart, but only about those which linger in a man and fight against him. It is the same as when a man sets at naught all unpleasantness and remains untroubled no matter how many people vex him. But if someone rises to attack him, he denounces him to the ruler. 32. Should one contradict the thought which attacks one? Do not contradict, because the enemies desire it, and, seeing the contradiction, will not stop attacking. But pray to the Lord for help against them, casting your weakness at his feet. He has the power not only to banish them, but to destroy them altogether. 33. Night dreams and defilements occur either from vainglory, or from surfeit, or from the envy of the devil. About the latter, one should remember that when vainglory or surfeit are on our part, do not help the enemy. He cannot repeat these things often. As a man labors in vain at building a house, if he cannot find the necessary material, so it is with the devil. 34. I want to curb my belly and reduce the amount of food, and cannot. Even if sometimes I reduce it, I very soon return again to the old measure. It is the same with drink. Why is this so? No one is freed from this except a man who has attained to the measure of him who said, "I forget to eat my bread, by reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin." Such a man quickly succeeds in reducing his food and drink, for tears serve him as bread, and he finally reaches a state when he is fed by the Holy Spirit. Believe me, brother, I know a man of such stature. Once or twice in the course of a week, and sometimes more often, he is transported toward spiritual food, and its sweetness makes him forget physical food. When he is about to eat bread, he is like one fully satiated and has no desire for it, and when he does eat it, reproaches himself, saying, "Why am I not always in that state?" and so wishes to attain to still greater achievement. 35. How to reach such a state? When all man's thoughts form one whole in God, when the flesh too follows the thought of God, and the joy of the Spirit comes to the heart, feeding the soul and strengthening the body, and so fortifies both. Such a man no longer weakens or grows despondent, for from them onwards Jesus becomes his intercessor, and sets him at the door of that place where sorrow and mourning shall flee away. And so the word of the Scriptures becomes fulfilled in him. Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. And what brings a man to such a state is humility. 36. How to distinguish a natural infirmity of the flesh brought about by abstinence from one simulated by the demons, and how much food should one eat? About infirmity, I should say. If receiving daily food with a habitual measure of abstinence, the body grows weak, it is from the demons. In the opposite case, if the measure of abstinence is increased, the infirmity is natural. The usual measure of abstinence is to get up from the meal slightly hungry, as the fathers laid down for beginners. Later, when a man becomes firmly established in this, and a still greater measure of abstinence, experience will have taught him to know clearly how much he should eat. 37. Pray for me, I am sorely tired. Pray for me, I am sorely tried. Those who completely die to the world come to the measure of stature through patience and trials, O beloved brother. The Lord has suffered on the cross. Should you not rejoice in sufferings, the endurance of which leads you to the kingdom of heaven? That you suffer is a good sign. Do you not know that sufferings and temptations become multiplied when the Lord prepares his mercy? And generally, do not seek bodily ease if the Lord does not grant it to you. For bodily ease is abomination in his eyes. And the Lord has said, In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's John 16:33. 38. How to allot oneself daily food. If you allot yourself daily food in the cell, it will lead you to cares and struggles. Be content with what God provides. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. 39. When I read Psalms, should I say the Lord's Prayer after every psalm? To say the Lord's Prayer once is sufficient. 40. Walk the path which we have trodden, following in the footsteps of our fathers. I do not remember an instance when, having found perfect rest, we have taken advantage of it, for we have always tried to add to it some small straitness or suffering, fearing him who said, Thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Luke 16:25. And yeah, that context there is important. And remembering that we must act through much tribulation, to enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. We behave thus also when many possessions came into our hands, and God knows in what poverty we lived for the sake of him, who beggared himself for us. It is not good to give oneself ease in everything. He who seeks this lives for himself and not for God, for such a man cannot cut off his will. And that was text 40. And tomorrow we will continue with 41 through 50. And they had a really short one in here, the one about saying the Lord's Prayer after every psalm. It must have been in a letter from a monk. Should I say it after everyone? Nope, just once. All right, thanks for tuning in once again. One more day and then who knows? I still haven't made a plan. I have a stack of books here for next year. So we shall see. Like I said, I am in a group text with my aunts and cousins, so maybe I will actively participate in that a bit more. I think they said they would restart their readings, posting their readings on Tuesday, and I will see. Yeah, we also have the Lives of the Saints, too. I'll take a flip through that right now. All right. Thanks for tuning in once again. Much love. God bless us all. Save us. Show us mercy. And supplant our tiny will with your great will. What is done in heaven, be done on earth through us, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.